Paper 12, so if you haven't had enough fun, Juan He, you're up again.
Agenda paper 12 addresses an issue of how to calculate deferred tax as a consequence of an internal reorganization of an entity. The specific circumstances as follows. Entity H transfers the goodwill to a new wholly owned subsidiary where the goodwill was recorded from a past business combination transaction. Entity H has recorded a deferred tax liability because the goodwill is supposed to be amortized over 18 years for tax purposes. However, the goodwill is not transferred to the newly set up subsidiary for tax purpose. So this creates a discrepancy between accounting goodwill and tax goodwill in terms of separate financial statements. That is, the accounting goodwill is now recorded in the subsidiary's book, whereas tax goodwill remains in the parent. Before I move on, I want to correct a typo in paragraph 4 of this paper. In the second line, the word business C should be corrected to business D. Now, the issue is, when preparing the consolidated financial statements, should we compare the accounting goodwill in subsidiary's book with the tax base that remained in parent entity? Or should we consider tax bases separately for parent entity and subsidiary? We noted the submission states that each entity files its tax return respectively. According to paragraph 11 of IS 12, separate tax return means that each entity determines its tax base separately. Determining tax bases separately means that temporary differences would be calculated by comparing each tax base with the carrying amount in each entity. So we think that the parent entity and the subsidiary should determine their tax bases separately. We then considered whether initial recognition exemptions recognizing deferred tax in IS 12. We think that when calculating deferred tax amount for consolidated financial statement, the amount used as the carrying amount for an asset or liability is the amount included in the consolidated financial statements, and therefore the assessment of whether an asset or liability is being recognized for the first time is made from the perspective of the consolidated financial statement for the purpose of applying initial recognition exemption in paragraph 15 and 24 of IS 12. We also considered that a temporary difference between the tax base of the parent entity's investment in the subsidiary and the carrying amount of the investment, that is so-called outside basis difference, deferred tax would be recognized in accordance with paragraph 38 and 39 of IS 12. So based on our analysis, we think that the current standard provides sufficient guidance, and therefore we do not recommend that the committee take this issue to its agenda.
Reactions? Tony?
I think I'm comfortable with most of the analysis. I probably just have just one qualifier, if you like. I think in working the numerical example, the staff assumed that there was a change in tax rate between the two entities. And I think there might be a step before moving to that. So I agree with the staff's conclusion that you look at the tax base and the tax rate in the relevant entity, and that transferring assets between entities in the same group may well cause a change in tax base and a change in tax rate. And if it does, that should be accounted for, because that's what IS 12 says. I just wonder if there's a first step, which is to say, is there any effect? And so I've seen live examples of this type of transaction where there's no change in tax base, there's no change in tax rate. And in that circumstance, you'd think, well, should there be any accounting at all? But when there's a change in rate or a change in tax base, I think the staff's analysis is entirely consistent with the standard. And I agree particularly that the initial recognition exception doesn't apply in the context of the group accounts.
Scott?
I think I agree with the staff's analysis. The one thing that was bothering me a little bit was up front, the fact pattern is labeled as they transfer the assets, including the goodwill, to the subsidiary. Is that an option for accounting purposes? Could you transfer the assets to the new subsidiary but keep the goodwill on the parents' books? If so, we've now given you a choice of which tax rate to apply. Because you can either decide, never mind, I won't transfer the goodwill for book purposes, and the law doesn't transfer it for tax purposes, so now I don't create the temporary differences in the two entities. Whereas if I transfer it for financial reporting purposes, but the law says it doesn't transfer for tax purposes, now I've created the two differences. I didn't think that transferring the goodwill for financial reporting purposes was an option. But this is sort of the way the fact pattern was stated, it's sort of said, you know, the company decides to transfer the goodwill.
When you look at the cash flows that support the goodwill, and if you put the cash flows over here change the tax rate on the cash flows, you're kind of stuck with it.
That's what I would do, but remember, we have very, very, very religiously, doesn't matter what your religion is, avoided saying anything about common control transactions.
I wonder, sorry, I'm interrupting. I just wonder if we could address that in IAS 12 by saying if the cash flows that support the goodwill are being taxed at that rate.
I would hesitate to start jumping into it.
I think.
Let's let Monique go back.
I think we can refer to footnote 2 and page 3 of 26. It says that it explains the purpose of these transactions. The parent entity moves the business, the whole business, to a subsidiary because they can get preferential tax rate.
Mm-hmm.
So on that basis, I think transferring goodwill is not an option because they have to move the whole business to
Where is it in the literature that says if you move the business to a wholly owned subsidiary, you've also moved the goodwill? That's the only thing I was concerned about was that the fact pattern says Entity H effects an internal reorganization in which it sets up a new wholly owned subsidiary. Entity H transfers business D, including the goodwill, to subsidiary A. That made it sound like to me that they could have decided to transfer business D, excluding the goodwill.
See, I never would have. The reason you're getting blank stares on this side of the table, I think, is because we didn't think that's what it meant.
Good. But then I'd ask the follow-up question. Does the literature preclude you from doing that?
The only thing that
becomes consolidated statements, I don't really care in general whether I say the goodwill is on the parents' books or the subs' books, except here it seems to matter in terms of whether I create temporary differences or not.
The piece of literature that comes immediately to my mind, and it's only sort of in sort of you bringing up now and sort of me thinking about it, is the guidance in IAS 36 about allocating goodwill to cash generating units when there's disposals and how you do allocations. And, you know, if this was the precursor to a spin-off, a disposal, so you've moved a business, maybe a couple of businesses into a separate subsidiary and so on in readiness for then spinning that off, then, you know, we have got some guidance in here about telling you how you need to go about allocating that goodwill across to the disposed unit.
That's true.
So that's where I would turn to first in response to your question.
And that would apply in an internal reorganization as well?
It seems to me if you transfer the business to the subsidiary, effectively the cash flows are going to be taxed at that 20% rate in the subsidiary. So to me, you've transferred the goodwill to the subsidiary.
Works for me. I just want to make sure that's required.
Laurence?
Yeah, I've not read the staff paper in the way Scott did, so I didn't think it could be an option. For me, if you transfer a business to another legal entity, even if you prepare separate financial statements, you have goodwill arising. So accounting goodwill arising.
I think if you do prepare separate statements, you're going to be doing it. You will transfer the goodwill. It's if you don't that this concern arises.
Well, that is not what I had read, and knowing where this is happening. Yeah. Knowing where this is happening, I know that the accounting goodwill is indeed transferred into the separate financial statements that are established under IFRS. So I didn't have that concern. I was more reacting to Tony's points to make sure that I understood what he was saying. Let's assume that the subsidiary and the parent are operating in the same jurisdictions. When does it mean what you are saying? I'm completely in agreement where the staff is going. So I assess at each separate entity, compare tax base at the level of the separate entities with the carrying amount using the carrying amount that is in the consolidated financial statements. Correct? And because in our case, goodwill was recognized before, you don't fit into the initial recognition exemption when the goodwill has been transferred to the sub. Yeah, so then we are in the same line.
Yeah, Tony made the comment earlier that if there was no tax rate differential, all happening in the same jurisdiction, then the only apparent motivation for this issue arising is because somebody wanted to use the initial measurement exception and was just creating a transaction to derecognize things by using that. And I'm not hearing any support for that at all.
Actually, what it has as an effect is denetting the deferred tax liability amount in a deferred tax asset for the amount that is still recoverable versus a deferred tax liability for the whole amount relating to the goodwill, which is currently netted as a deferred tax liability. So it denets. That's all it does as a first step. But in that jurisdiction, there are other things happening afterwards.
I think my concern is that there should be a common sense cross-check, which says if the impact of all this is no change in rate and no change in tax base, I would be hugely uncomfortable with anything happening by way of recognition.
Okay, let's start at the other end and work back to the middle. Joanna?
Well, I was just going to say that I think that both Scott's concern and the concern about the Tony's concern about if they're at the same rate are actually, if you like, dealt with in here, in that the specific circumstances are that the goodwill is transferred. So I actually don't think we need to worry about whether or not the goodwill is or is, you know, whether from an accounting perspective you would always transfer it. This fact pattern is the goodwill is transferred and therefore it's in a different entity. And I think that's the specific question and the specific answer that we are proposing to give, and therefore I support it. And I mean, yes, what Scott said, first of all, worried me, but I think they're actually, you know, I'm not saying we can ignore it, but I don't think it's an issue for this particular thing. And likewise, I think, Tony, yours, I agree with you that so long as we don't get a different answer or a silly answer if the rate is the same, but I think this is very clear. And in fact, if the rate is the same and you read what we're saying, you'd actually end up with, well, there's no difference. I mean, it's exactly the same. So I support where this is headed, and I think your two concerns are valid, but actually we've got them covered.
Okay.
John, did you have something else?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with the staff recommendation. I do think, though, that even if the tax rates were the same, there is a change. You've actually now created two temporary differences, where before you would have had one, and you might have a DTA and a DTL, which are not capable of being offset under the offset requirements of IAS 12. So I do think you've created an asset and a liability because you've got a deductible and an assessable temporary difference, whereas before you only had one temporary difference. Actually, you've got three temporary differences because you have the outside basis difference in the investment in the sub. I do think, just on the wording of the rejection notice, I do think that the fact description of the facts are actually not are inadequately described to sort of lead to the conclusion. It doesn't actually describe the fact that there's already a deductible temporary difference created in the parent. So it seems to me that they're too summarized to actually support the rest of the agenda rejection.
Andrew?
A similar place to John, really. I think on the point about whether or not transferring the goodwill is a choice in terms of your bookkeeping, maybe we could clarify if it isn't. We've transferred the business to another legal entity, and therefore for the purpose of applying IAS 12, whatever the bookkeeping is, we would go forward on the basis that the goodwill now belongs to the transferee entity. This other point about, does it make a difference? Should we get to a different answer if the transferee's tax rate is the same as the transferor's? Well, for the same reason as John, I think it does make a difference. We've gone from having a taxable temporary difference in the parents to having a deductible temporary difference in the parents and a taxable temporary difference in the subsidiary. And as well as the potential for those not being offset, there's also then we'd have to apply the recognition criteria to the deductible temporary difference based on the parent entity's individual tax return. There isn't a group filing, so we might actually get a different amount of deferred tax on a net basis, and that would reflect the economics, given that the parent has the tax deductions but doesn't have the expected future profits from that business against which to utilize those deductions.
Martin?
I agree on the outcome of the staff paper with regard to the effects on deferred tax assets and liabilities. With regard to the question on goodwill, which is more or less a second kind of issue, well, I believe the goodwill has to be transferred if, the relevant cash flows are also transferred. It might be that the goodwill will be split up depending if certain core knowledge or so remains in headquarters if the business is sold further on. What we have not discussed so far is that we also might have translation effects if we transfer goodwill into another, a subsidiary with another currency. So therefore, also, I believe it is necessary, and it is no option, that we transfer the relevant part of the goodwill.
Okay, I find it hard to disagree with what you say, except that this is an issue about tax accounting. Not about internal reorganization. So, yeah, I would stipulate your points, except that they're not absolutely necessary, I don't think, unless somebody's going to tell me otherwise. Scott, I hear us in raging agreement. So.
No, I don't have anything more to say.
Oh.
Phones?
Phones. Luca?
Hello.
Yes, anything to add on this one?
Okay. I have a more or less the same concern of Tony and others regarding the which will be the conclusion, probably the same, if we consider the same tax rates between the reporting entity and the subsidiaries. The thing that I like to better understand is this. In the paper, they have presented two views. The first one is that is to do not apply the exceptions and the default to recognize the deferred tax liabilities. The other one is to have a more holistic approach and consider that nothing exceptions in the consolidated financial statements. I would like to better understand from staff which are the the reasons underlying the fact that this view has been considered not applicable at all, just to be sure that this is that the solution that it seems that we are taking is absolutely the only solution that is possible. It seems to me that we have eliminated that other possible view too quickly. I don't know if there is something that we have to think about this.
Luca, if I can just clarify, you're wanting to understand why we dismissed the view two alternative view that was in the submission and was set out on page 5. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And I would.
Correct.
Yeah. And that talks about the fact that the view that it's an internal reorganization and doesn't change any relating recognition. I mean, yes, it's an internal reorganization, but we are looking at the fact that each of the entities is required to complete its own tax return. And we think that IAS 12 leads us to the conclusion that therefore each entity needs to be considered separately in order to assess the deferred tax position.
Okay.
Sandy?
I agree with the conclusion, though. I would agree with, I forget who made the comment, that I think that the agenda decision, it didn't describe it sufficiently, the situation sufficiently.
Do you have some specifics on that?
I had after I did I haven't worked any wording out, but after A and B, it said I had explained. I'd have to think about it a little bit. I don't have anything off the top of my head.
Okay. Shelley, anything?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
Thank you. Tony?
I'm just going to come back on Luca's point.
I think what Joanna said is absolutely right. I think the initial concern was that if there is no change in economics as a result of an internal reorganization, accounting gymnastics shouldn't give you any bookkeeping. And I think the point that we made is that's where the staff's view would get you to. If there was a change in economics, rate base, recoverability, you would get accounting,
yes.
And that is reflected. But you do get to the view two answer if there is, in fact, no change in the economics.
Right.
Yeah.
But if there is no change in the economics, then why would you be doing this? How would that come to apply then?
Exactly. Exactly.
Or you're anticipating a spinoff or something like
yeah,
that, which is.
John? So I was just going to come back on Sandy's point about the description. I mean, where I, given that I made a comment originally, between B and where it says the submitter asked how they should account, B sort of talks about the transaction, but there's no reference to temporary differences or deferred taxes. And then after B, it just goes into the submitter asked how the entity should account for deferred tax assets. There seems to be a leap between the description
yeah.
of the internal reorg and the existence of deferred tax assets and
okay.
liabilities.
Fair point.
Yeah, that was where I was pointing to, because I had right there I said explain, but I didn't work any language out, because I read this after I read all the other description, and I don't think I would have got the point from reading this.
No, I think John and Sandy made a fair point. I think we can deal with that. Okay, other than that, I hear support for the staff view. And Juan He is picking up his name tag, so he's eager to leave. Okay.